Welcome to the Train Smart Podcast of Velox Training Group. I am Nick, your host and lead instructor of Velox Training Group. As always, we've got Max Gates here as our co-host and assistant instructor with Velox Training Group. We basically travel all over the country teaching people how to shoot better, faster, more accurately, etc. Today, we've got a much anticipated guest on. We have Chris, who is basically like the Walther guy. Thank you for coming on, Chris.
Absolutely happy to be here.
You look it.
I am.
Okay. Very good. Well, so Chris, we'll just dive right into it. I put out something on Instagram like, hey, we're having Chris from Walther on. Send all of your questions. I'm not going to say all of these because some of them, well, they wouldn't make for good topics.
Okay.
Sorry to say, but some of these are actually pretty damn good, I think. Anyway,
I thought my question was the best. Everybody else's were about Walther, and I wanted to know, just to get to know you better, Chris.
Yeah.
Let me see if I could find yours. Boxers, briefs, or thong is what Max said. we'll file that under ones that we'll skip.
Boxers. <Yeah. clears throat>
All right.
Whatever, man. If you don't like to let it breathe, I guess don't let it breathe.
I'd suffocate that thing.
Yeah. So up front, Chris, you do not have to answer. Well, I want you to answer as much as you can, but some of these, I know you're going to be like, hey, I don't think I can say that just yet.
I'm willing to get in a little bit of trouble, man. I mean, there's been quite a few instances where I've let a little bit more slip than I probably should. But that's good marketing, really, I think. I mean, it's my job to get people excited about what Walther's doing. And it's hard to do that if I'm just saying like, well, yeah, no, I really can't tell you about that. So if I was going to let Walther secrets slip, it would be right here on the Velox Training Group podcast with Nick Young and Max Gates.
I like it. Yeah. All right. Well, first question from my buddy D out in Arizona. Is Walther going to have parts available for the steel frame, barrels, slides, etc.?
So there already are some available, but it's tricky to do that because the way that the whole system works for the steel frames is that
what exactly is available?
Is he's talking about like just factory replacement parts?
Yeah, barrels, slides, things like that.
Yeah.
So I know the barrels are available, right?
To my knowledge, yeah, the barrels are available. To my knowledge, the way that works is that, you know, we get the guns in from Germany. They are actually made in Germany. Some guns are made in Fort Smith, Arkansas, but the steel frame PDPs are all made entirely in Germany. So we basically get what they send us. You know, and there are parts that come in, but I think for right now, those go to like our gun techs and things like that so that, you know, they can do warranty work and stuff like that. To my knowledge, nobody has come to me and said, hey, we're going to start selling, you know, an entire parts kit worth of parts for the PDP steel frame on the website. Mm-hmm. However, we do have a brand new, like, I mean, from the ground up, we redesigned the website, including the store. It's supposed to launch 6 weeks ago. It should be any day, but it looks awesome and it should have a lot more updated parts inventory. It'll have a lot more, you know, merchandise and things like that on there. Still, obviously, waltherarms.com. It's just the website is done. I have seen it. It looks awesome. It's way easier to use. We spent a lot of money on the digital assets for it. Mm-hmm. Not to give the magic away, but like we had all of our guns even like 3D scanned. So if you ever see like a watch ad or something like an Omega video yeah. ad or something like that, and like,
sure.
the watch gets taken apart and all the pieces and stuff come out. Obviously, that's not a real watch. It's all done by CGI. We had that done to every gun that we've ever made. Well,
yeah, you spent some money.
Spent some money.
It was not cheap at all. But I, you know, it was kind of one of those things where I was like, you know, let's future proof this a little bit because, you know, like lifestyle trends and images and stuff, they go in and out and we can always change that stuff. But I was like, this sort of future proofs us for quite a while. And the good thing is too, we have a lot of PDP variants. We catch some flack over that, honestly, but we have a lot of PDP variants at this point. And what's cool about it is, like, once this company scanned in the PDP, they were like, okay, well, we can add a threaded barrel. We don't need to rescan the whole gun with a threaded barrel. So for the Parker Mountain gun, they were like, we can just, like, take some good pictures of the Parker Mountain comp and we'll, like, model that here. So that saved some money. But it's really, really, really awesome. And I'm excited for everybody to see it. It's just, we're waiting on some, like, techno, you know, it's like the server has to be updated. This stuff, it's way beyond my knowledge level as far as technology goes, but the new website's coming. It'll be great. Hopefully there will be more parts for the PDP on there. But I truly just don't know.
Cool. I think I would like to see that too. At least, like, I don't know, little stuff, springs, all that jazz.
Yeah. And we work, you know, one of the things that's cool about Walther versus really anybody else that I'm aware of is that if there are little parts like that and it's harder for us to get them, we'll deal with, like, Lock Grips and ZR Tactical and some of these smaller companies to where they can provide some kind of an option. And I know ZR Tactical is working, or they have some extractor springs that they have tested and worked on. I don't know that they're for sale yet, but stuff like that is easier to get through them than it is for us.
Well, it's interesting because, I mean, this is all Glock has changed the way people think about handguns, right? I mean, mm-hmm. Most of this, I'd be willing to bet 90% of the people who are buying parts and things like that are doing it to customize, right? Instead of wearing out parts. There aren't that many people that are wearing out parts on pistols.
Not typically. What we'll see sometimes is, it is interesting to me that, like, a lot of the guys who are buying spare parts, they're usually competition guys. So I think that it's guys, you know, they just want backups, and I totally understand that. But there have been so few, I'm aware of, I mean, almost zero, like your steel frame, Nick, has how many rounds through it?
Well over 100K at this point.
Is there any other steel framed competition gun that you're aware of that could last that long without needing, like, mass replacement parts?
Well, no, because the other one that I would say is, like, the big, I don't know, contender, I suppose you can call it, is the Shadow 2.
Right.
And that thing is not that way. Like, that thing requires a lot of maintenance.
Yeah. It's, you know, I think I want to say I've maybe heard of a handful of things about people with slide stops. But other than that, I really just haven't heard of any, like, I don't know if there's a wear part or something on that, but, you know, I've maybe got a couple DMs about people saying that they wanted an extra one. However, their guns would also have been Cerakoted. So then it's like, well, we don't know what happened when the person took down that. I'll be the first to admit, man, the PDPs, especially the polymer ones, are not easy to take apart entirely. If you're wanting to Cerakote it, slide stops are a huge hurdle to do that. But we're working on that. You know, we're always doing cool stuff. So that's something that we're working to improve, but there just aren't, there's not a lot of need for replacement parts with the PDP. So that's not an excuse to say, well, we never need to offer those to anybody. I want everybody to have everything they want all the time. So that's something, I'll take that up the chain for sure and make sure that we can get spare parts for all steel frames, polymer frames, all that stuff needs to be up on the website. And if they can't be, like I said, you know, we work pretty closely with a lot of the aftermarket companies because they're all honestly friends of ours. You know, between Parker Mountain, Lock, the ZR Tactical, we work a lot with, and some others. So yeah, we want to make sure everybody gets what they need.
I like it. All right. Next question. I thought this one was kind of interesting. I already know the answer, but, how about an aluminum version of a PDP? I think, didn't like Smith and Wesson do an aluminum?
It was metal.
MNP? It was right. They call it metal, it was aluminum.
Yeah, it was aluminum. No, I don't know what the purpose of that would be. There's benefits to having a polymer frame gun and there's benefits to having a steel frame gun. I don't know. I couldn't tell you why anybody would want to do an aluminum framed gun. but
it's going to wear worse. It's going to have all the, it's going to be light. I don't understand.
Yeah. It like one of the benefits, the biggest benefit of having a polymer frame gun is that it's really light, but it also flexes. And
yes,
you feel more of that than you realize you do. And you can see a lot more of that under like super slow motion, like the frame yeah. actually flexing and stuff. So then like, you know, the other extreme of that would be then go to a steel frame and it's like, okay, well now you have the weight, which is soaking up some of that felt recoil. Aluminum is, in my opinion, the worst of both worlds. So not to my, I can't imagine that we would. I'm not aware of a single plan anywhere. Nobody's talked about it to my knowledge. I'm not a product development guy, but I'm not aware of a metal frame.
Well, I mean, you won't have wear. I mean, in the sense that like, you're not gonna have to worry about rust, but you already don't on a steel frame in general. Unless you're sitting it in water and letting it sit. So I don't know.
It's funny though. Like, you know that there's like a meme where there's like a goose and it's chasing a guy, like honking at him. And it's like, what kind of metal is it? That's what, like, why do they keep saying metal? Why don't they say what kind of metal it is? It's 'cause I feel like somebody in marketing was probably like, this is a questionable choice at best, but okay. You know, I understand it. It's their job to sell stuff. So gotta make it sound as cool as possible. No shade to Smith.
Yeah, coming from a retired blacksmith, I could tell you that aluminum has the most rebound in terms of like the three different materials that we're talking about: steel, polymer, and aluminum. Mm-hmm. So if you made an aluminum frame, I would very much assume that that thing is going to smack the shit out of your hand every single time you shot it in comparison to a steel or a polymer frame. So like, I've shot aluminum frame guns. I want to say it was a Kimber. Oh, I think my dad has it. It's a 1911 Kimber and it's an aluminum frame. And that thing is brutal to shoot.
Yeah. Yeah. I just can't imagine that we would do that, but you know, if anybody wants to keep doing that, more power to them, I guess.
Yeah.
Did it come from revolvers? I mean, I know they make aluminum revolvers, don't they?
Yeah. I have one.
Cause they're white.
I mean, here's what I would say. And again, no shade to them. I would doubt, you tell me if you agree. I would doubt that an aluminum frame gun came from somebody who shoots a lot.
Yeah.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
I would.
Like, I can't imagine that whoever is on their, whoever their number one shooter guy is, was like, you know what we need? You know what, like, I really need is an aluminum frame gun. You know, that was probably,
well, dude, they don't
somewhere.
Like, I guess they have like Jerry Michalik, but dude, they don't take advice from people that, like, dude, they have someone like Hunter Constantine, who is a freaking amazing shooter.
She's one of my favorite, honestly.
yeah.
People.
I agree. I like her too. And she knows a thing or two about shooting. So like, why not listen?
That's true. But did you guys just had him on here? Is that why it was called? The name was changed on the podcast.
No, we had a different hunter on.
Oh, okay. Freeland.
Yes.
Freeland.
Oh, okay. Cool. Yeah, I like him.
I may have said Constantine. I get, there's a lot of hunters, man.
Got you. We just did. We just did a big content shoot. I can't wait for it. I cannot wait for people to see it with Hunter Constantine and Micah Mayfield at a place called the Drift Mansion in Pomona, Missouri. It's going to be some of the coolest content. I think it's going to be, well, Hunter and Micah are involved, so it's going to be fun, which is a huge thing for me. Like, I want to keep everything as fun as possible. I'm not like super serious. So we got to go out and play with Walther's drift cars. We had a couple other drift car drivers come out, and I'm not going to give away what we did, but combining Hunter Constantine, Micah Mayfield, a racetrack, and you know, some 100 mile an hour plus drift cars was there's going to be some really cool videos that come out, and that's awesome for people to see those. Yeah, but Hunt was a great sport. Micah was a great sport. It's a good time.
Awesome. All right, well, next question: why is it oversprung? Fix that, please.
I don't even disagree with that. every gun that I have, that I personally shoot, is I put the, well, now I put the V-spec in it from ZR Tactical. I like that a lot. Before that, for years, I ran a 15 pound, which I liked a lot as well. There's nothing wrong with the 15 pound. Why is it oversprung? I'm not gonna use the term oversprung. I'm gonna say that it's sprung like it is to pass duty rated tests. Mm-hmm. It has to return to battery.
That's what a lot of people don't realize. Go right. ahead.
It yep. has to return to battery, not for just you. It has to return to battery for everybody. So
everyone in the world, not just the world. People here.
And so under a lot of austere conditions. You know, not just while it's well oiled and stuff like that. So it is a duty rated and you know, it's in use lots of police departments now. That list, I'm telling you, is growing by the day, the amount of government contracts and law enforcement contracts that we're getting.
Send Sig a Christmas card.
Dude, I'm not gonna comment on that, but you know, it's been a our law enforcement. Which I love, our law enforcement sales department is so small, like as far as manpower is concerned.
Yeah.
And they've been very, very, very busy lately, which is great. Mm-hmm. You know, we've all been enjoying that. And what's cool for us about it, specifically with, I don't know if I'm allowed to mention which department, it's our largest one. You can Google that information and find it pretty easily, but our largest law enforcement contract that we have, they showed us their increase in their marksmanship scores for their qualifications for their officers. They went from a, I believe it was a hammer fired, a double action hammer fired option to us, to the PDP. And their scores, like across the board, they've never had higher scores and it wasn't even close. Like all of their worst shooters, I don't want to say worst, but all of their,
people lacking in skill.
Boom.
Currently.
Their people, yeah, their skills are in other areas. Sure. People who have more skills in other areas of police.
Currently.
Were able to like match the top scores that people were hitting with their old guns just because of like the ergonomics and the trigger improvements and stuff like that. So anyway, that's, I'm detracting from the guy's question, but it's sprung that way because yeah, it has to work for everybody. And you know, you can change it. It's just like the sights, kind of like, why do you put these, you know, kind of rudimentary white dot sights? And it's because you're going to change them. You know, you're allowed to tailor it mm-hmm. to yourself. If I send a gun to anybody that I know is going to shoot a lot, like, you know, if there's an influencer or something, or you know, like lately it's been a lot of car world people, race car drivers and stuff, like if I send them a gun and I know they're a shooter, I will send them a 15 pound guide rod along with it and be like, just swap that in. If you know what you're doing and you know you're actually going to be shooting it a lot, like you're going to appreciate, I think, the 15 pound or the V-spec more. But yeah,
I like it. Well,
I'm not going to be like, oh, it's perfect and blah, but you know, I change all mine as well. So great question.
This leads into the same exact guy's next question. Why is the gun so much better than everything else?
So our goal with the PDP was not to make anything that was, you know, we just want to be part of the conversation. It's interesting to me. There is a YouTuber who's a very tall, slender man, and was always really nice to me. And then I gave him a gun. And was just like, yeah, man, just do your thing with it. Like we've never ever. And I wouldn't even want them to give somebody a gun in exchange for a positive review. Because number one, I don't think that the gun really needs it. It's a good gun. I don't think anybody could say it's a terrible gun. It's a great gun. People do a lot of cool things with it. Like you look at, it's doing well in a duty use. It's doing really well in competition. You know, Jay Beal is crushing with his steel frame currently, which is awesome to watch. Love that guy. But anyway, so I gave this YouTuber a gun. And he did a review on it where he was like, oh, it's overrated. It's not a Glock killer. And it was interesting to me because I was like, oh, we never set out to like kill Glock. You know what I mean? We just want to be part of the conversation where, you know, if somebody goes into a gun store, sure. They're looking for a gun for somebody, be like, well, here's the options that you should look at. You should look at an M&P. You should look at a Glock. You should look at mm-hmm. A Walther. all great guns, fantastic guns, with a lot of their own positives. And I wasn't mad about it. I wasn't mad about the review at all. But like, I think that came out 2 or 3 years ago, and I'll see the guy like at SHOT Show and stuff, and I'll be like, "Hey, what's up?" And he'll like turn and like scurry away. And I'm like, "Dude, I'm like, nobody's mad at you. Like, it's okay. Like, it's, you know." And he didn't even really trash the gun. He was just like, he was more upset that it was like, this isn't better than a Glock. And, you know, I might disagree in some regards and I might agree in other regards, but, you know, it's just a good gun. I want all guns. Like, I was a shooter long before I worked at Walther. I want all guns to be awesome all the time. I don't want them to, you know, everybody should be able to pick from just this like massive array of amazing pistols. Cause you're, you know, it's not like a blender or something. It's not like you buy it, but it's like, ah, I'm just going to return this blender or whatever. Like, I want everybody to defend themselves and their families with the best tools imaginable. And I think we make one of them. We're a great option in a market full of great options.
I like it. I like that answer. This will be a good segue into lock grips, possibly. Mm-hmm. When will they make an XL backstrap for those of us who are full grown or different profiles? I would second this. So for me, I wear a size large glove, and I would say the vast majority of like the Walthers are a bit small for me. Mm-hmm. And usually like on my steel frames, I will gravitate towards the palm swell just because it makes it bigger for my hands. I like more real estate.
I don't, you know, I have a, he just sent me a new hat. I should wear my Lock Grips hat. Blake just sent me, do you know Blake? Over at Lock Grips.
Yeah, so, yeah.
One of my favorite people on earth.
Super nice guy.
He just came up to Grid Life with us and got to see the drift cars again. But regardless, I would imagine as soon as this podcast airs, they'll think about working. I mean, one of the cool things about Lock Grips too is that those guys are, they aim to please with everything that they do. So if they see a need for it, if they need something, yeah, they'll absolutely, you know, they'll make it. That's one of my favorite things about working with guys like Lock Grips and Parker Mountain and ZR. Like, we have such a good relationship with those guys. I think I can call any one of those guys' personal cell phones right now. And just like, I mean, I talk to them regularly. I text Blake regularly, and he's always looking for new stuff to do. And it's just the fact of the matter is, and I don't want to like give too much of a peek behind the curtain, that like, if we want to do something, like if Walther wanted to make our own grips, there's an entire design process. There's like internal bureaucratic processes. There's all this stuff that has to be gone through that slows it down. It's gonna result in a high quality product, but we have we're a massive company, so there's just all these layers that things have to go through. If I call Blake or Zach or Jared and I'm like, "Hey, I had this idea at breakfast," they could have like a prototype by lunch. Yep. And you know, I'm envious of that in a lot of ways, but you know, it's just the ways different places can work. But again, our relationships with those smaller companies allow us to offer, like, we can then take those products in just like we did with the Parker Mountain Pro X guns, or some of our PPKs that already come with lock grips on them. Like, we can do special makeup units for those, and you know, it streamlines everything. It keeps everybody happy. And you know, they're Blake's a really creative guy too. So he comes up with some awesome color combinations and shapes and things like that as well. So I would imagine any time to answer the question, if they see a need for it.
Yeah. Well, I think that this is something that a lot of people don't know. And someone recently told me this. I didn't even know this. He's like, a guy at my class was like, "Hey, you know, you can go on the Lock Grips website and add to the size of the grips. Like, it costs more, but you can customize like the size of the grip." Yeah, he was like, "Dude, you can add 1/8 of an inch, like increments, onto the sides of the grips." And I was like, "I never knew that." So I'm gonna order some.
Be running.
Yeah, that's what I said. So yeah, I'm gonna get on there and do the same exact thing, because I'm a fan of having a little bit bigger grip on the gun for sure.
I mean, that's on my Glock. I've got the extra large back straps, and it makes it. It doesn't make it fatter. It just makes it longer. So it's a little bit, I don't love it, but it's the only way I can get it so that my fingers don't touch my palm when I'm holding the gun. Yep. The lock grips add some width, which I like, but if I can add even more, oh boy, I'm going to have to fuck with that.
Yeah, I like, you know, Palm Swell is definitely great for me. Like, I like the fact that I can actually get behind the Palm Swell with my support hand. Yeah. And it like gives me more real estate for the support hand to go on. Conversely, like if you try like the thin grips, again, like I don't have massive hands. I wear size large gloves, just like average size hands, I suppose. But dude, like you say, like my fingers almost touch my palm with the thin grips. Like it's way too small.
I've only messed with them on one thing. Did you see the gun slaps gun that we did for him?
Yes.
That had palm swells on it, and they were raw aluminum. It was like a custom thing that they did. Raw cool. aluminum palm swell grips. Yeah, that was. And then I shot 45 rounds through that gun for a video for Gun Slaps, and then a video for us. And it's a ported. That is a ported from ZR Tactical steel frame compact with a dynamic performance trigger. It's a pro model, and that thing was soft. It was
probably
awesome grips. Super cool build. Yeah.
So there's a couple of these questions, same exact question. ETA for slimline gun to compete with 365 43X Hellcat / Shield Plus. Mm. Do we have to put 365 in there? I don't feel like that's a contender.
I mean,
trigger safety kind of gives me the willies. I'm not sure if I would stuff that in my pants, but do you?
The trigger set 365s have a trigger safety?
No, they don't. Do not.
Oh, which is okay. Yeah, I thought that's
why I would be very concerned to stick that in my pants, but.
I like all of those guns. I think that all of those guns are awesome. Walther, like, if you think that we haven't been working on something like that, you're out of your mind. Number one, like we had the original slimline polymer pistol in the PPS. You know, we're always working on cool stuff. Why has it taken so long? The stuff that we want to do is never just like, well, number one, producing anything new it's shockingly difficult. It's shockingly difficult to do in one country. It's even more so difficult to, you know, to match supply chains and design and stuff like that across two countries. Yeah. That causes, some backup from time to time. Also the technologies that we're going to, I should probably stop.
You gave away quite a bit there, my man.
Nah, I don't think so. I think I'm okay. All right. but the I'm technologies, the stuff, that, we would never want to come out with something that was just exactly like everything else. So like, we're going to make sure that whatever comes out, it's going to be worth taking a look at. It's not going to be like, oh, you know, they took a PDP and shrunk it. Or something simple like that. They took their big gun and made it into a small gun. It has to have its own set of, it has to have its own feature set that's worthy of, you know, having people are going to get off their couches and go to the gun store to check one out. So I would just say, you know, we're always working on cool stuff at Walther is like the go-to answer for stuff like that. But
was the P99 a single stack?
So was the what?
P99 a single stack James Bond's old gun?
No, that was a stack and a half. Just like so, the P99 just became the PPQ, and the PPQ became the PDP. So you can even use magazines across some of those guns as well. So,
I never owned one. I had a toy one when I was pretending to be Pierce Brosnan as a kid. But
you know what's weird is my very first carry gun was a Glock 19 like everybody else's. And then I went through, like, you know, when you start becoming into guns, you go through where you just buy and sell guns, trying to find the one that you like the most. So my second carry gun that I ever bought over a decade ago, a long time ago, was a P99C. And I sold it to my brother, who still has it, long before I ever thought. I think I worked at a Jimmy John's at the time, so I never knew that I would work at Walther, but... my brother still has that gun. And then my brother as well, I think probably 5, 6, 7 years before that, got tattoos. He wanted to have like gun show tattoos. So he got Walther PPKs because he liked James Bond, and that was his gun show tattoos. And then, like, you know, on down the line, then I started working at Walther. So it's kind of, I need to like have my brother tattoo, like, my brother gets $1 million or something. And maybe that'll be true.
Will it into existence?
Yeah,
my first
manifest it. Yeah,
my first gun was a Bursa 380.
Heck yeah!
So,
Yep.
I was way too poor to afford a Glock at the time.
Mine was an XDM 45.
There it is.
Hell yeah, brother.
Yeah. I bought it at a gun show in Illinois. It was very much a hell yeah, brother purchase.
I did. I remember one of my favorite, it was a Kel-Tec PF9, and I put like a pen clip on the outside of it so you could, I was like, look, I don't even need a holster. I'll just tuck it right into the front of my pants.
Okay. Mexican carry that thing.
Oh, dude. You go through a lot of dumb choices. But back then too, that was such a good time, like for YouTube and stuff. That was back when like all that was Demolition Ranch was like 20 some years old.
Yeah.
And he was just, you know, shooting stuff. And Tactical Response was one of the only guys putting out training videos on YouTube. Hickok was big. Yep. It really was the golden age of like gun culture, in my opinion. Like you look now and it's like, dude, the stuff that they were teaching was silly and the stuff that they were doing was silly. But the reality is, and the Magpul videos are the same way. The amount of people who are in the gun industry now simply because those videos and those creators and stuff existed are innumerable. Like you could not put a number on how many people that those people got into shooting. And whether it was right, wrong, or indifferent, what they were teaching, it opened the door for a lot of people, like I'm guessing all three of us, really.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and everybody who comes through class. I mean, we make fun of a lot of the Magpul video stuff, but like it's an undeniable fact that the reason people have those bad habits is because that's what got them into shooting. So like hard to fight that. I don't know how we got there from Walther, but it is an undeniable fact.
Yep.
Go ahead.
I was just recapping. So basically, it's just going to require more patience. I know everybody's sick of hearing that, but know that it's not going to be something that we would half-ass. It'll be when the time is right, it'll be awesome for everybody.
Sweet. I think what you're saying is it will be a Glock killer.
you heard it here first.
When will the dynamic performance trigger for the F-Series be available?
It's a thing. I know that it exists. I don't know why it's not up on the website. That might be something that they're waiting for the new website to roll out. So that's another thing where it should be any day. But it definitely does exist. We're already putting it in the Pro Series, of the Fs. And, and then, can I jump ahead? Is anybody asking when is the Parker Mountain F Series coming out? Is that like the next question?
That's the next question. When is the PDP F Pro X or steel frame comped from the factory going to be available?
Okay. So I think different questions.
Well, yeah, sort of. So like I get this all the time because people see that I shoot the comped, you know, PDPs and stuff. And they're like, hey, how do I get that? And I'm like, well, you kind of have to buy two guns, or the other option would just be buy a full-size 4-inch PDP, if we're talking about like the steel frame, and then put the barrel and comp on it, and it just won't, you know, like you won't have a longer dust cover, but it'll essentially perform the exact same as mine.
Yeah, but it doesn't look as cool.
It doesn't look as cool, right? But if you want it to look cooler, then you got to buy two different guns. So I think people want to not buy two different guns if they can help.
Yeah. So that's difficult.
We want answers, well, Chris.
I know. I'm trying to I want to give the best answers that I can because that's my, I'm the communications guy. I want to communicate. So the F Series Pro X, I'll just be honest with you. I don't know what the holdup is on that right now. I've shot that gun. It's on Walther's page and my personal page. Like I'm holding it, shooting it at SHOT Show this year. They were both at the NRA show a few months ago in Georgia, and everybody came by and checked them out and were able to hold them. I don't know exactly what the holdup is there, but again, I'm not a product development guy. So there could be some material shortage or just something weird like that. I really don't know. They are coming. It's an awesome gun, super cool little gun. The most concealable comped gun that we've ever made. And man, I have some cool news about it too, like from a pop culture standpoint, but I'm not allowed to talk about that either. So that gun has a super cool story to it that hopefully everybody will see sooner rather than later, but I'm excited. But the steel frame. So you're aware you had the PED or the PPQ version of the gun that those guys are talking about, right? The,
yes.
What did you guys call that? The PQX?
Yes. So the I have a comped PPQ as well as a comped Q5.
Mm-hmm.
Steel frame Q5.
What did you guys called that something different though? It wasn't the PDX back then. You called it something else. The DDX.
DDX.
Yeah. Yep. The DDX. Okay. So kind of goes back to our guide rod conversation earlier where it's like, why are they oversprung? The guns have to work for everybody. And if they don't work for everybody, it really becomes a customer service issue.
I'm trying to be very nice with this. Can I help you out with this?
I'm a nice guy. I don't know why you would. I'm not I'll trying to do anything. I'm just naturally that way.
I understand, but people aren't going to get the idea. So what he's essentially saying, and I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, but like if the gun doesn't work for everyone, people are going to complain, and the gun won't work for everyone. Like I have a dual port comp, the Park Mount Machine Ultra Comp on a gun, and it's like if I limp wrist that thing, it will stovepipe. So like if you have a really crappy grip, the gun's probably not going to work, and you can't control people who buy the gun. Like they, someone might have a crappy grip and say, hey, I want that thing because it's cool. And that's great. But at the end of the day, they have a crappy grip and the thing isn't going to work. And then they're going to blame the gun instead of their really crappy grip and lack of training.
And what's interesting is like, I have a lot of contacts at like accessory parts companies, but I don't really know anybody at other major manufacturers. I just don't think there's a lot of cross-pollination there, just, you know, for competitive purposes and stuff. But yep. I would love to talk to some of these other, major manufacturers that are selling comped guns and seeing if their experience is the same as ours, where like, it's an awesome gun. I had one of the first single port comps that Jared had even sent out for testing. He sent like three to Cody back before they were even available. And I put that on a gun immediately. And so did Cody. And we shot that exact setup as the Pro-X PMM that's available now, the polymer one with a single port. Shot that for years. Loved it. No issues whatsoever. And then we started selling it. And, you know, we'll get inundated. Not inundated, that's probably a wrong word, but we get a lot of people who will write in, they'll be like, this gun doesn't work. And, you know, our customer service team is great. And they're, you know, they've got to do their little investigation. It's like, okay, well, that's strange because they're test fired here. We know that, you know, they worked when they left. So let's figure out exactly what's going on. Is it an ammo issue? Did something break? Like what's going on? So, you know, they could be like, you know, can you send us a video of what it's doing? And then they'll send in a video and it's like, you know, this teacup grip or something like that. And they'll be like, okay, cool. Well, like, you know, you could change your grip up or whatever. And people are very resistant to hearing that they need to do something different. So it's personally interesting.
Personally, I like what Park Mount Machine does. If people complain, they'll like send the gun back. And then they have one of their staff who is maybe 5 foot and she's super tiny, has her shoot it. And it works. We'll shoot it with a bunch of different ammo. It's like, she has a good grip.
Yeah. The steel frames, for whatever reason, this is kind of interesting. I shot Cody's DDX, and I think you had a similar experience. I remember having a phone conversation with you a long time ago, years ago, where you, back when you had the DDX, there were only five, I think, in existence, five or six DDXs that were ever made. Right. And they were all just given to like, friends of Walther. So I shot Cody's and I couldn't get it to run. And I'm not like a slouch at shooting, but I just, I don't know what it was about my grip or maybe like my, I don't know, but I couldn't get it to cycle reliably for more than like four or five rounds at a time. And then we pass it off to Cody and he could do it. And you had that same experience, if I remember right. Was it you and Max? Could Max not get it to run?
I don't remember that, but it sounds like it's,
well, I remember you said that you were like, dude, I just took it to a class and there were like some real shooters there. And like some of them could get it to work and some of them couldn't. And,
Every now and then I'll have a student that's like, hey, this thing won't work for me.
The DD, talking this, the full steel frame with the dual port comp. And I don't know why that is. I mean, so there's no such thing as a free lunch, right? So the action of the gun demands that the barrel tip up. So the comp is keeping the barrel at a certain point from tipping up as easy as it otherwise would.
It's also taking away from the momentum at which the slide goes backwards.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess I should preface this. I'm obviously not an engineer. I don't know how things work, and I'm a dumb person, but there is something where, like, when you start getting into reducing that much recoil out of the gun, it seems like there's a way that even like a decent shooter can impede its function.
Sure. Yeah, well, it's not a gas driven system. It's a recoil driven system. So take right. the recoil out and nope.
Yeah. That makes sense to me. That makes sense to my public school brain.
There's things that, like, you can put a lighter weight recoil spring in it. Like, that will help a ton. Mm-hmm. If it won't run with the stock spring, like, put a lighter spring in it. It'll help. The other thing that'll help is running something like 124 NATO ammo, like mm-hmm. the plus P stuff, the hotter stuff. Like, that will work just great. Actually, that's what I prefer to shoot out of my comped guns, because it works the comp way freaking better than the lighter stuff. But
I had I carried Appendix for a long time as well, 8 months or so, one of those Staccato DVCPs or STI, it was STI back then, STI DVCPs. And I was like, man, this gun shoots so soft. And then somebody was like, put some, I want to say it was Fiocchi 124, maybe. They were like, oh, it was designed to be shot out of the MP5 or whatever, so it's super hot. And I don't know if that's true. That was just the FUD lore that I was served at the gun shop, but it was hot stuff. And it drove that comp, so like the gun just didn't move. It was loud, but the gun never shot flatter. And I just used that. I mean, even over competition ammo, I was able to like shoot super cheap because it was just Fiocchi 124. But
yep, yeah, I have 124 NATO ammo that I ran through my steel frame gun with the dual port comp on it recently. And that thing, like, it sounds like a rifle when you use that stuff, but dude, it is phenomenal. Like, it's pretty gnarly. Like, shooting doubles at 25, like, man, it just basically sat on the target.
There was a video I posted a little while ago where I was shooting poppers at like 25 and 50 yards and stuff, and I noticed this with the dual port Parker Mountain comp. Every time I shoot, the camera jitters a little bit because there's just so much concussion that comes out of it. But I don't
care. They're stupid effective, man, his comps. Like,
oh yeah,
he puts a lot of work into those, for sure.
Well, he's a shooter. That's what I tell everybody too. Like, Walther is unique in the industry in that, like, we, like, our culture is shooters. Like, we actually have people that shoot in the marketing team and in the design team and stuff. Yep. And that's shockingly a rare thing to have happen. But we also deal with companies like Parker Mountain, or I think that was how I was introduced to Jared, was like in a scar owners group a dozen years ago.
Yeah, me too.
He was running his stuff. You were in there. That was a great group back then. That's a fun group back then. But it's interesting, like, that then led to when we started looking at, like, okay, cool, well, like, who are the shooters that we can trust to make comps? And we're like, well, Parker Mountain Machine, like, for sure. So now we have, like, a, you know, he has his own Walther gun, which is cool.
Yeah, I don't know many people that own, like, gun companies, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. That will go out and shoot with me, like, start in the morning, shoot all day, go eat dinner, and then put nods on and go shoot again. And that is Jared.
Like, quad nods at that.
I have done that with him. I can't count how many times I've done that. Like, shot with Jared all day long, go eat dinner, and then go put nods on and go shoot some more. Yeah. Like, that dude is down to shoot all the time. And that's one thing that I like about him a lot. Like, he is always trying to get better.
I'd love to meet him in person. I still haven't met him in person, which is weird, but I guess that's the nature of the job.
He is probably my favorite.
Yeah. Are you going to Nats?
No.
Sorry to interrupt. Okay. I'm going to run out there.
It did not work out in my favor in terms of class schedules, like things that I can't talk about on here.
Gotcha.
But so next question. Anything in the holster world that's missing/needed for PDP support, general design, or gun/light combos?
Yeah. So one thing that I've noticed personally, so I just sent a gun to this dude. He's an awesome drift driver. He's like one of the Michael Jordans of drift car driving, is Justin Pollock. I hope I pronounced his last name right. And I was dealing with him, and I think tier one, kind of getting them connected. And he shot a lot of guns from another company. And he was like, dude, I'm, you know, due to pending litigation I'm not going to say what gun it was, but he was like, I need to get away from these and get into something else. And I was like, well, let's hook you up with a Walther. So I sent him a steel frame compact. And he was like, well, I love the TLR7, which is a super popular light. A lot of people really love the TLR7. And I feel like the conversation ended up kind of getting stuck at a point where we couldn't find anybody that made a combo for the TLR7 and a steel frame compact. So I know that's at least one, but it seems like, the TLR7, and I don't know is that the same footprint? I don't know these products well enough to speak on them, but is the TLR7 the same footprint as the new Surefire XCLR?
So they say it is, but from what I've seen, no. Okay. I think it was Works Holsters that actually posted something about that where they were like, hey, they say it's the same.
Mm.
We are not getting the same results. The work stuff is like mega clean and everything is more or less perfect. And maybe that's why, like, it's not a bucket holster.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that could be why, but, I think that's somewhat hit or miss.
Gotcha. Yeah. That would be something I would look into if I made holsters, as many TLR7 options as possible. It seems like those are a little bit more difficult to find, but it's a super popular light. It's not my cup of tea, but that doesn't mean anything at all. So
sure.
That would probably be where I would look. We don't really have any like crazy variations coming out that would change anything that a holster maker would probably care too much about. Other than the F series, but that's, you would just use I can't think of anything off the top of my head that would be like, you're going to corner the market if you do this one specific thing for the PDP. But, there needs to be as many awesome products on the market as possible at all times for everybody. So, make cool holsters and, the cream always rises. So
I agree.
You mentioned Works. I've got one of his holsters as well, or their holsters as well. It's awesome stuff.
Is it the Bisect?
Yes. I think I actually have two of them. They're sweet.
Two of the Bisects.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Bisect is awesome. The magazine pouches is the thing that I had, some input on, and like what I wanted was the magazine basically turned away from the body, because no one else makes a magazine carrier, at least to my knowledge, that does that. And it's like, as soon as it turns away from the body a little bit, it's way easier to stick reloads. It's easier to get your thumb behind it. So
is that the Velox edition?
There may or may not be a Velox edition.
Oh,
soon.
Nice.
Maybe. Yep. Possibly.
We're always working on cool stuff at Velox.
That's right.
There you go.
Does Walther have any plans for Pride Month? Time is running out.
Nope.
All right. That's probably Beretta, not Walther.
Yeah, that's not a Walther. That's not a Walther value.
Yeah. Didn't I'll leave it alone. Some clarity on the modularity of the compact steel frame and other slides and parts. This is a super common question.
Yeah, so steel frame parts only work with steel frame parts that include slides and barrels as well. So Don't mix and match, or you'll have a problem. Unfortunately, it would be cool if they worked cross platform there, but they do not.
Yeah, I get that question all the time. If it's a steel frame, it'll work with all of the steel frame stuff. If it's a polymer frame, it'll work with all of the polymer frame stuff. And I think same goes for the F series, correct?
Yes. Yeah. The F series has a lot of internal geometry that's different from the PDP. And that had to do so we could, move the trigger rearward and things like that. So it even has a different striker system entirely. Also worth noting, while we're talking about steel framed polymer, steel frames, generally speaking, especially when you're talking about like appendix holsters where they're molded like super tight to the gun, not like big bucket holsters, but generally speaking, you will need to find a steel frame specific holster, or if that option is available and you have a steel frame, make sure that you pick the steel frame option, because there is a little bit of a geometrical difference at the front of the frame.
Yep.
And yeah, otherwise you're going to have to bust the Dremel out and Dremel away at it. But
yeah, I've experienced the same. Well, dude, there's probably five other of the same exact question. When are you coming out with a slimline?
Yeah.
Where can I buy?
I read all of the comments, and like, I tell everybody all the time, like, guys, this is my number one question. Like, second place is not even close. So, and they're aware. Yeah. We're aware. We get it. Like, we hear you. But yeah, again, yeah, like, it's, if we do something, we don't want to do it easy. It's going to be, you know, super cool. And just hold tight.
I like it. I like it. Well, Chris, that's all the questions I got from Instagram, but I want to talk about shooting real quick, because it looks like you've been shooting a bunch.
And I've been shooting us some. Yeah.
Well, it's like, I didn't see you shoot for months and it made me really sad. And yeah, I don't know what you were doing. Probably looking at Bumble or something, but now you're shooting more.
Yeah.
What are you doing with the shooting stuff?
I'll tell you exactly what I'm doing is I'm having a great time. So I did, if you go back on like my personal account, like you'll see like there for a long time, it got to the point where I was like, this is starting to feel kind of like another job. And I burned out on, just doing PRs and stuff like that. I tried to do the competition
on Instagram specifically.
Yeah. On Instagram specifically. Yeah. So, you know, I did drills and drills and drills, and I shot nothing but drills for like a year and a half. And I set some goals and I achieved those goals. I really wanted one of Gabe White's turbo pins, and I got, I think, the 11th one of those. But then I got, there's a thing in the Lanny Basham mental management world called goal depression. It might not be exclusive to him, but there's a thing called goal depression. And that's when like you set a goal for yourself and then you reach it, and then you don't have any other goals after that. And then it's like your whole world falls out from under you and you're like, well, I don't know what to do with myself now. And that was kind of where I hit. So I just kind of like, I tried to get into like USPSA, which that was back when you couldn't shoot appendix in anything other than open. So I was shooting, I shot open minor, which a lot of guys do now, but back then, like, not, you know, it wasn't really a done thing. And I really, if I'm being honest, like, I didn't enjoy it. I don't enjoy.
Well, USPSA. Like, you had a pretty bad experience at one point, if my memory serves me correct.
I took a couple goofy DQs, which, you know, I have on video, but it is what it is. Like, but the other part of it, if I was just being honest with myself, is like, I just didn't enjoy it. And the other part is there's a thing called like your level of participation. My level of participation in shooting does not allow me to carve out the amount of time, that it takes. Like, my closest match, I think, is 2 hours away, you know, and I've got kids and a life to live and stuff like that. And I don't feel like there's any shame in me being just like, I just don't enjoy it. I shot like the NRA World shoot last year, and that was I do local carry gun matches here with some buddies and stuff. And I, you know, that gets me some competition and it's close by and things like that. But
sure.
You know, it's interesting to me too, that like, there's a view out right now. Like, I think everybody should be as good as possible all the time. You should always be like aiming to get better, especially with a gun that you're carrying out into the world. And, but there's like a push right now where it's like, dude, but if you're not training to be the next world champion in USPSA or IPSC or whatever, then like, you know, you're a piece of shit or something. And I just don't, I think it's, you know, if you want to see that content, like, there's all these dudes out now that are absolutely slaying it from appendix, Buck Lawler, Santiago Lopez, Donovan Moore. I saw even like Justine Williams is going to start shooting from concealment, or she's going to shoot nationals from concealment, which is super cool. Love that. Keep it up. Couldn't cheer harder, but it's just not something that grabs my interest. And I don't know why that is. I think I just, I like going out in the woods and blasting paper targets for 30 minutes. And I, you know, I'll video some, you know, me shooting a balloon or something like that. And that's fun. I enjoy the fun. It's a relaxing thing for me to do. And I think once I started sort of treating it like work, I just quit enjoying it. And to lose something that you enjoy at that level really sucked. So I just sort of quit doing stuff. I quit recording videos and I just didn't enjoy it. So now all I do is if I have an idea that I think would be fun or entertaining or whatever, I'll just do that. And hopefully people enjoy it. And if they don't, then that sucks. But I just sort of do what I want to do. And I, you know, try to be happy with shooting. So it's been a lot more enjoyable when I'm not, you know, gunning for PRs and stuff like that. Just have fun.
I said it on the last podcast, but the internet is not real. And I think people spend a lot of time doing exactly what you just were talking about. Forgetting the internet is not real and ruining their fun sport just to try and chase what they saw on the internet. And that doesn't help anybody.
Well, the other thing that's important to remember too, like there's a cool guy club for sure. And it's in every subculture. It's in cars and archery and pistol shooting and rifle shooting and stuff like that. You know, it's the cool guy kid, the cool guy squad, the cool kids at the lunch table. And, you know, once you sort of free yourselves from giving a crap about what those people think, then you really just kind of get to do what you want. Like, I think that my skills as a shooter are reasonably good. I can draw pretty quick and I can hit a pretty small target. I enjoy doing that.
It's pretty modest, my man.
Well,
I've shot with you.
Well, but there's a lot better shooters out there, but like,
sure.
I just want to have fun. Like that's all I want to do is enjoy doing it. And you know, what's interesting is like, you see guys there, this isn't new, but like Instagram specifically and YouTube, they're entertainment platforms. And the truth of the matter is for me, and it seems like a lot of people like I see our analytics. So I have a little bit of an interesting viewpoint on this. People in general are not entertained by watching match footage over and over and over and over and over again. And if that's something that you're into, that's great. Do that all day long. And like, you can follow the accounts that do that type of stuff. But you know, I'm in the engagement business. That's my job. And, they don't like to see people do things better than they can do them typically, I think is what it is. But it's just not something that's super engaging. So there've been guys.
It can be intimidating. It can be intimidating for them.
And there's a way,
something's intimidating, like they're not going to want to go do it.
Right. Which is where I think guys like Hunter Constantine really kind of kill it. And he's an entertaining guy, which is good. I think that's very important. Like, it's a skill set to actually be naturally entertaining. And he is, but he's using that to kind of try and get people into competitive shooting, which is awesome. Cause it's an amazing arena to set goals and get faster and more accurate and things like that. But you know, I also don't think that if that's something that you can't fit into your life, you don't necessarily need to feel bad. Just go out to the range and get better with your stuff that you use to defend your life with. One of the guys that, you know, one of my heroes, honestly, like in the industry was, Jared Clausen. And that dude always was doing entertaining stuff, like shooting drops of water off of like a piece of wheat. Did you ever see that video?
Yes.
There's like water dripping on, and he's like shoots a drop of water on, and then he shot a casing off of his own vehicle's mirror. Just stuff like that to me is like, that's awesome. And that's fun to watch. And it is shooting at a high level. But you know, that's just where my interests lie, I guess, at this point.
Well, it's shooting at a high level and it's entertaining. And I think the part that a lot of people forget, at least these days, from what I see, I think people forget that's called influence, right? Like, if you go do that and it's like a high level thing, maybe like you're not winning a world championship by shooting a droplet of water off a piece of grass. However, that is super hard and people see it and maybe they want to go out and shoot. And it's like, well, cool. Like, that guy just influenced someone to go out and train and get better. So
I agree. Like, if it makes somebody go like, oh, I want to see if I could go do that, and they do it and they can't, they at least got like a ton of reps shooting something very small from like a draw very quickly. And there's nothing wrong with that. Like, that's good. Like, everybody is aware if everybody agrees that you learn more off of your failures than your successes, then like somebody just got to go out and like learn a ton about, you know, aiming precisely and stuff like that from, you know, something that, again, like, they're like, well, what you should go is do competition. You should go do competition instead of shooting, you know, silly entertaining stuff like that. And I don't think that that they're mutually exclusive, because the other part again is like, if they don't have the resources, they don't have matches available, or maybe their Sundays aren't free, or their Fridays aren't free, or they have, you know, kids dance recitals or whatever, like life happens. And I don't think that everybody, I don't think that you are a undeserving of carrying a gun entirely if you're not willing to carve out massive chunks of your life to go shoot USPSA. I think if you enjoy it and you're good at it, there's tons of people that are, and we sponsor those people. And I love watching them shoot, and I like watching them do well. But that doesn't have to be everybody's journey, you know? As long as they're, you know, go to the range, get better, and go to classes, you know, try to fit in a class if you can. But just get better, seek out good instruction. And if that leads you to competition, awesome. What an amazing place to set goals and better yourself. But, you know, it just, there's a famous, well, he's a high subscriber count YouTuber, and I'm not going to mention his name, but he does a lot of entertaining stuff. And somebody was like, oh, why don't you do competition? And I was a little bit disappointed, because he was like, oh, I got an injury and I can't move. And maybe that's true. It didn't strike me as being true, just from like the tone that it was. And I was like, you're allowed to say you just don't enjoy it. I just don't enjoy it. That's where I'm at. So.
Yeah. Well, fair enough.
Yeah.
Well, I like seeing that you're shooting again.
Thanks, man. I need to come shoot at your place.
You do. I had a lot of fun the last time you were here.
Dude, that was like a year and a half ago at this point.
Yes.
Wasn't it?
Yes.
I think the last time we shot together was at Walther, wasn't it? At the rifle class, like a year ago.
Yeah.
When it was 100 and some odd degrees, and we almost blew up your Hodge. I'm not going to say how.
Yes, I do remember that. And I remember how sweaty places were.
Yeah, it was moist out there for sure.
It's definitely moist.
Yeah.
Well, Chris, I appreciate you coming on, my man,
yep.
And answering a bunch of these questions about Walther's and shooting stuff. If people want to find you and ask you more questions about when they can buy a certain part from Walther, where can they find you?
So we have obviously Walther Arms Instagram, but we don't really check the DMs there. You can get a hold of me directly on Instagram at Canon762. You know, if you need customer service, we have, I'm not customer service. I can give you guys, like, I can guide
you. I was waiting for that.
As best you can. Yeah. Do not DM me for free stuff, because you won't get it. Do not DM me for,
how often does that happen?
Opportunities. A lot. It happens all the time. And, you know, it's rough. Like, you know, the truth of the matter is I wish we had enough funds and stuff like that to sponsor everybody and send everybody free stuff, but we just don't. So, there's already
processes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's already processes in place. Like if somebody is going to be sponsored by Walther, then they already are. I try to send out cool stuff to people who I see performing well. Like I send out t-shirts and hats and stuff like that. So, you know, if you're producing cool content and you're doing well, like you will come across, like I'm chronically online. I will come across your stuff. I promise you. So like, you know, and you know, I do like to, like I said, I like to send out hats and shirts and stuff like that to people that, you know, that are using our stuff. So just keep doing the thing. And I like sharing everybody's stuff and, you know, tag us, do all that stuff. We have to be the most involved, gun manufacturer. So, you know, find us or me in either of those places. We still have YouTube. We do Vimeo. And then look for the new website coming real soon, waltherarms.com. And, yeah.
Cool.
Yep. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate you coming on, dude.
Always a pleasure. Yep. Nick, see you soon.
All right, sir.
All right.